Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with...
Sean.
Kieran.
And Lee.
The season started.
Yay.
Yeah, wasn't a thriller, was it?
No.
Behind Verstappen, some stuff happened, but Verstappen was like a good half a lap ahead of it all.
Yeah, and... You were saying earlier, Lee, you'd not seen drivers play noughts and crosses on TV for a long time. I think that's what Max was doing for about the last 10 laps, just to keep him focused.
Yeah.
He said at one point, wasn't it when Perez overtook Russell or someone and they were talking about it in the cool-down room and he turned around and went, yeah, I saw that on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you haven't got you've got time to do that? Oh, man.
It's going to be another of those seasons, isn't it?
It looks that way.
It's last season, except Alpina crap. That's it.
I'll tell you what, we will start the news bit on Alpine because, well, is there anyone left?
The drivers.
Only just. So let's get.
Oh, hasn't Alan Permain moved there? Now,
has he gone back?
No,
I thought Alan Permain left last year.
I might cut this up.
He definitely is former Renault, isn't he?
No, sorry. He's gone to AlphaTauri or someone, isn't he? He's gone to Sauber.
Right, so he's
now.
Left.
I've mixed... Yeah,
yeah, I was going to say... Alan Permain
there? No. As was, then. Okay, good.
Yeah, he'd been there since Benetton, but now he's not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Sorry, I mixed up my teams.
Right, so technical director Matt Harmon and head of aerodynamics Dirk De Beer have both resigned. Although Dirk De Beer was still on the pit wall this weekend.
Well, apparently a couple of them had resigned before the weekend, hadn't they?
So they saw how bad it was going to be in testing and then quit.
Seems so. Or, I mean, is it a... It could be a situation where they go and look, Renault's not giving us the backing, which is what it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of it, you can't take away the possibility that a terrible car has been birthed and someone in Renault has said, right, we need to clean house here because this is not right.
Hmm.
It's not a sort of good sign, is it, when you've got two of your senior people just disappearing one race into a brand new season. It does not bode well, I think, for Alpine. They're not moving forward anytime soon, are they?
And it's a big sign, the fact that they are genuinely on pace, last row of the grid, mm-hmm. last two cars in the race, when you can't really blame the drivers, because they're not people who haven't been at the team for a while, or they're just playing rookies, or they're just a bit...
Mm. They're both race winners.
Bog average. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they are. Massive asterisks.
Mm-hmm.
You can
yes.
argue to both of them.
Shenanigans-y race winners. But...
No, asterisk was the small one. Oblix was the massive one.
Hey,
somebody had to.
So, yeah, they're in serious trouble,
and
somewhere, I think this could be a career killer.
And somewhere in America, Michael Andretti is just scrubbing a zero off the amount it's going to cost him to get a Formula One team.
Yeah, this could genuinely end Ocon and Gasly's F1 careers.
Oh well, moving on.
So apparently what Alpine are going to do now is they're introducing a new three-pillared structure, just like what McLaren do. So
yeah,
they're now going to have three technical directors. This isn't going to end well.
It doesn't sound like the start of a good sort of resolution. It sounds like more chaos.
Oh.
And one of them's Kyron Pilbeam, isn't it?
Sorry, they're gonna have four technical directors. So, Joe Burnell, technical director, engineering.
Mm-hmm.
David Wheater, technical director, aerodynamics. Kyron Pilbeam, technical director, performance, with the engine team led by technical director, power unit, Eric Mainen, whose focus is on the 2026 project. So they have already given up on next season.
It makes sense because it's like, does your team have direction? Technically,
Yes, they have lots of direction from directors.
Everything's got a direction, just 359 of them are wrong.
And they've also now got two chief operating officers. This is going to be an absolute...
They can't both be the chief operating officer. That's not the definition of that. You can't have more than one of them.
One's at Enstone and one's at Virrey, the engine plant.
This is getting a whiff of sort of McLaren Honda, but somehow both the parts of this are owned by the same company.
This is getting a whiff of too many cooks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean the saying, not the viral YouTube hit.
The thing with the McLaren situation, like if you go back to when you had McLaren Honda and and everything really started to go wrong for McLaren, there was like a clear crisis there, mm-hmm. There was a little bit of daydreaming at first, like maybe a season or two where they thought, no, we can turn this round. And then everybody knew that this was not working. Something needs to be done. You know, did they go back to Renault at first, or did they go straight back to Mercedes?
They went to Renault for a couple of years.
Yeah,
because they swapped with Red Bull, didn't they?
That's it. Yeah, and
Toro Rosso Tori crabs,
whatever it is, racing hedgehogs.
That was Williams in the 90s.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? But you kind of knew, like they said, like it's going to be a long recovery time. You know, we're looking at McLaren now as like maybe not what we wanted them to be last weekend, but there's clear steps forward and there's a clear upward trajectory for them now. Renault have been doing this now. I mean, like the season after Alonso came back to them before he went to Ferrari.
Yeah,
I mean, that was like the end of Renault when you had Grosjean and was it Kovalainen? Was that his teammate?
Grosjean was.
Kovalainen replaced him, didn't he?
Was Grosjean with Raikkonen and then Maldonado?
No, there was before. That's when Grosjean came back. This was when it was actually full fat Renault.
Oh,
there was
I'm with you. Yes,
Heifeld and Kubica. Am I right in saying?
Let's have a look.
I think it was Kovalainen in 2009. This would have been
2009. No, Kovalainen was at McLaren. Kovalainen. It would have been Alonso, I think.
Alonso was teammates with Piquet, obviously.
Yes, and then Piquet got binned off, and Grosjean came in.
Didn't Alonso go to Ferrari in 2009?
2010,
yeah. Because in 2010, I think it was.
Because he only did 1 year, didn't he, with Renault? And Crashgate was 2008.
He did two. He left McLaren after 1 year, and went back to Renault.
Right.
I
thought he just did one stopgap here at Renault.
No, because he was binned midway through his second year. Got rid of him after Hungary.
But either way, that was the 2009. It was the collapse of Renault, as being anything near competitive.
Yeah, I mean the Genie Capital Renault years before the rename to Lotus. That was Kubica and Petrov, and then
Petrov. Jesus Christ!
Oh my word,
Valtteri! I was just testing the curbs to see how wet they were, Petrov.
You remember him so well, you've just called him Valtteri.
Oh, Vitaly.
Vitaly.
You see?
Vitaly, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, he tested the curbs. Mm-hmm. And then the following year was Nick Heidfeld for the first 11 races. And then he entered a world of disappointment and was replaced by Bruno Senna. And Petrov managed a whole season. Then they became Lotus. And then they went back to Renault again.
And Lotus was when Kimi and Grosjean were full-timers.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, because Kimi won the last race of that year. Or the penultimate race. Can't remember what that
I think he won the last race of 1 year and then the first race of the next year, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then they stopped paying him.
Mm. I'm currently hearing the sound of a cat destroying an Amazon packaging.
Lovely.
Yeah, because Lotus were going that far from Renault that they even used Mercedes engines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wasn't Bruno. There some sort of cow milk protest with Renault or something at one point?
Some what?
Milk protest?
I'm sure that they got involved. I think it was at Belgium when they couldn't get into the track, or it was two separate things. There was some sort of Belgian milk protest against Bernie Eccleston, but it meant that Renault specifically couldn't get in the track on the Thursday. I think everyone else managed to get in the track, but because Le Farmers had some sort of... I think they parked a few of their cows in front of the track entrance for the team. Everyone got in apart from Renault. I'm not imagining... Did this happen? Am I going mad?
Next time I speak to Statman, I will ask him what's the largest number of cows that have ever stopped an F1 team getting into a track. He will probably know.
Spa Grand Prix... cow protest let's try that.
I'm just going to throw this out there. I think we've missed the original point of where Alpine's
I think we've tangented, haven't we?
Yes.
just a gnat.
There seems to be a suggestion that Bernie held talks with them ahead of said protest and it all sort of dissipated.
So he gave them a lot of money to
go make them
away.
Go away. Yeah, I suspect so.
That must have really changed the mood.
Oh,
Christ.
Yeah. See, I was looking for one, and I couldn't find a viable option for a joke in that situation.
We're trying to remove the puns from the podcast. We're freezing them out.
Oh, God almighty. That's
fucking... never did I think there'd be like a cow deep cut joke. for the bovine fans out there.
He had all the obvious ones and went for that.
If I can just say, this cow section of podcast jokes, that is especially for the guys from Evolution Sim Racing, who have had a cow-themed joke situation going on in the Discord chat for months.
Jesus.
You sim raiders are a wild bunch.
Oh, we know how to live rock and or roll. But yes, going back to Alpine, the car is a dog or a cow. The engine we don't know because it's in a crap car and nobody else uses a Renault engine. Mm-hmm. And senior staff are bailing out and they're replacing one senior manager with six.
It's not good.
No.
You know, the...
That speaks of panic, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't... No team has ever panicked in round one or been on the podium on round nine. This isn't a McLaren situation where they knew they were playing the long game. This is, we're ballsed for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even like McLaren last year when they turned up and they were bad and everyone was going, well, this isn't good. And McLaren were going, no, like we've basically got a B car, like as an upgrade. And, you know, they said all the way through that difficult part, you know, we've got something that'll fix this. And it ended up, you know, being like the closest challenger to Red Bull over some races last year. Renault, I just don't believe have that.
Yeah, but McLaren managed to do that without some of their senior staff resigning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, we've not had any sort of assurances, have we? We've not had anything from Alpine saying like, oh, you know, it's a work in progress, it'll take a few races, we've got this upgrade coming. It's just, it's shit. Now people are leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's some new management because they'll sort everything out.
No.
Because that always works in every organisation.
Mm.
You know, we haven't made a product that's good enough. Bring a new manager in.
There's nothing that's going to go well for Alpine this year, is there? This is surely the year done for them, near enough.
It's
ruthless and brutal, but it's true.
I would say it's this block of regulations done from... If they're already looking at... you know, they've brought in a chief operating officer to deal with the 2026 engine, then what can we expect from next year, which is, you know, the last year of the current regulations? And it's the it's an engine change coming in 2 years' time. So if the entire package is shit this year, then next year is going to be more of the same.
Yeah. Yeah, they're frozen entirely, aren't they?
Yeah. There's going to be very little room for improvement. And they're going to be fighting Haas for last place.
I don't think they're going to be fighting Haas for last place. The Haas has shown that if it qualifies well, it could hang on to a point or two. And Alpine might get points or twos, you know, they might do a Sargent, that sort of thing, creep in. But I can't see them having any consistency if all the technical experts have left and they are already at the back.
I don't think, bad for Renault here, I don't think Haas are anywhere near as bad as what we thought they were going to be. Hülkenberg's qualifying was sensational. Magnussen was off it, and we never actually got to see what Hülkenberg could do in the race because of unfortunate stuff.
I mean, don't forget with Haas though, they're one of the teams that are good at the start of the season, and it's actually developing the car that's the issue.
Because they pause.
Whether that's to do with the way that Gene Haas wants the team run, which is. Right, you've spent all the money on the you've spent all the money on the car. Don't spend any more. You know, I have heard tell about his NASCAR team, where a driver that was bringing in an absolute ton of money, everything that they were bringing in was going to develop the cars of the other drivers.
God.
And poor old Danica Patrick just had GoDaddy logos on her car and didn't get any development.
No.
Did you know she used to be a racer in the US? I don't know if she's ever mentioned it on Sky F1.
Doesn't come up.
No. Never anything said.
She's the new... I was going to say, who they boffed off of Drive to Survive? Who's no longer a talking head?
Toto Wolff's wife.
Susie Wolf, yeah. You don't hear from Susie Wolf. You hear from Danica Patrick and Claire Williams now.
We've still not started it, have we?
No, we haven't finished last year's yet.
That's true.
We've only seen two more this week.
I've watched the first three episodes, and I'm still unsure at why Claire Williams is featured.
Totally agree. I think
they got a lot of gripe last year, didn't they, for not having many female voices on much like sort of female screen time, which, I mean, it's about the drivers, all the drivers are male. I wonder if they sort of brought in her and Danica Patrick just to kind of beef up the female representation a bit.
Yeah.
Old Jenny Gale from the show at the moment, haven't we?
Which is understandable.
I just feel like, as far as Claire Williams' voice is concerned, you could argue that if her voice hadn't been in F1 at all, her family would still own the team.
Yeah.
Do you do the thing I do, Lee, when she says something in a talking head bit, going, "The team have made some dreadful decisions here," and you sit there at the TV grumbling, "You fucking know." And then Jane has to go, "Oh, shut up."
And in defence of Paddy Lowe, building an F1 car is difficult these days. I finally managed to sort of find out / work out what he's doing. He is heading the team that's supplying the official fuel to Sauber.
Right. So he's a gas man?
Yeah.
I used to run an F1 team, you know. Yeah, did you, Paddy? Anyway, fill it up.
But yeah, he's the head of their fuel suppliers. So fueling an F1 car is really difficult these days, apparently.
Yeah.
I thought it was meant to be easier now that there's no refueling.
Oh, yeah, but they've got to take... I mean, in between qualifying runs, they've got to take it into the garage and take the engine cover off. Yeah, that's the tricky bit, especially if somebody's designed it without a removable engine cover. On to the next thing. Actual Monday news, for once. Mohamed Ben Sulayem is being investigated for interference in a race by removing a 10-second penalty from Fernando Alonso at the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix last year.
Oh.
Yeah, this is interesting, isn't it? Because I think, from what I remember of that penalty, I think everyone, I think the general feeling at the time was that it probably was right that it was overturned. It was, this was where he'd come in for a pit stop with a time penalty. They'd put him up on Jax, and then the stewards decided, well, you touched the car, so you didn't serve your penalty, so here's another one. And I think Aston Martin argued that actually everyone else has always done it that way, and they felt that they had been unfairly singled out. And then I think they did then change the rule for the next race to say you cannot touch the car while serving a penalty. But it didn't feel funny at the time that that got overturned, because it was a bit of a sort of loophole that everyone else had been exploiting, and it would just seem to be Alonso that was the unlucky one who got done for it.
Grassed up by Mercedes, apparently.
Oh, I see. Yes, of course.
Oh, yeah, because it would have been George who would have got the podium.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Now, the thing is, there's a massive fuss kicked off about this afternoon. It's like, oh, the head of the FIA getting involved and fixing the results of a Formula One race.
It doesn't look good. It's not his job, really, to get involved in that. Right. That should be an Aston Martin appeal.
All I can say is Max Mosley and Jean-Marie Balestre.
Well, yes.
Yeah, I mean, they were hardly better, were they?
I mean, Balestre actually rigged an entire championship to give it to Prost.
yeah, there is that.
You know, a 10-second penalty compared to a 16-race championship.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that was in the days where you could get away with it.
Bloody internet, it's ruined all the criminals.
Yeah.
Now we all know it was old Mr. Johnson from the amusement park.
Yeah. Everyone knows it was old Mr. Suleiman from
the FIA bunker in Geneva.
Thank you. Yeah. From Biggin Hill. No, not Biggin Hill even. But this has all the hallmarks of something which is going to bring up all sorts of arguments about corruption. Probably, you could say rightly so, potentially you could, but it's just going to bring up the Abu Dhabi people, isn't it? And he oversaw the report.
They're a cult now. Full on cult.
Yeah.
You're one letter out, but close.
But you know the funny thing I've found is that because of how they've treated the Abu Dhabi thing, like I really enjoy it now. Like, now and again, I'll just retweet the end and stuff.
Just like poking the fire.
Yeah,
you're not one for piss boiling. So this is quite refreshing.
No. Hang on. Tweeting the end and poking. We're not doing the Horner story just yet.
Oh. I'm not on that page of the sound effects, so I'm not even going to bother.
I'm glad.
Why haven't you? If you haven't got the theme tune for the end of the theme tune of Coco Pops, there is something wrong.
I've blown it. No, I'll wait till we get to the story. I've got one, which I was going to use on my breakfast show on Friday, but we may as well debut it here.
If he had rather have a girl of Coco Pops, we wouldn't be in this mess.
Who else is Ben Suleiman in bed with then in F1? Because
Christian Horner.
Well, he did have a meeting with Christian Horner, didn't he, this weekend?
Yeah, there was a little clip shown during qualifying or so, wasn't it, when they were discussing the fact that F1 and FIA got together to chat about the whole Horner thing. Mm-hmm. And you can tell someone's not going to get sacked or, you know, told to go away by the FIA when they're having a chat and they both walk away laughing thumbs up. That doesn't screen sacked.
No.
Yeah, I managed to miss most of qualifying this week because I was stuck in a doctor's waiting room.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with me. I was just stuck in a doctor's waiting room. But, I mean, the FIA has always been accused of being ever so slightly, just a tiny bit, massively corrupt.
It kind of goes part and parcel with being the governing body of a sport, though, doesn't it?
What governing bodies of sports would ever do anything like that?
Do you think 90s snooker would look at today's F1 and go, pussies?
Or football for the last Americans,
snooker was corrupt as fuck. That was
football for the last God knows how many years.
Yeah.
Again, for the Americans, football.
Yeah. You know when you know that Tom Brady bit where they didn't inflate the ball? Mm. That's Formula One all the time. Yeah, it just seems a bit, you know, you say about Jean-Marie Ballesta did it and Max Mosley did it with, you know, whether it's cigarette advertising or the McLaren stuff or whatever.
Or US 2005 or...
Or that. Crashgate. And there's a good F1... there's a good BBC podcast series on that from last year, which was very good. But yeah, there's so many things which come up nowadays that you think, how would that have happened? If stuff from 30 years ago happened nowadays, it would go mad, which makes this kind of small fry, but it's only big fry because it's taking place in the Twitter era.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine what it would have been like going back to the 80s? With Prost and Senna taking each other out 2 years on the trot to win a title. What the hell would Twitter have been like both those weekends and forever after?
I think there'd have been riots.
Yeah, someone would have been killed.
Yeah, or Schumacher and Hill in 94. Actually, Lee still tweets viciously about that to this day.
I found out today that Damon Hill no longer follows me on Twitter.
Do you know what the worst thing about that is? Is like you got really excited because Damon Hill follows you, and at some point you've upset him enough to not follow you.
Yeah. It happened with Maurice Hamilton. I interviewed Maurice Hamilton for a radio doc I did in my master's thing. And
you offered us the audio, didn't you?
Yeah, there's loads of stuff from that I should chuck over at some point.
Yeah, years before you were on the team, you offered us the audio.
Maybe so, yeah. I might, if it's all right with you, I might chuck over the main thing to stick on the Patreon, because we played it on our radio station after we finished it, and we got two listeners. And I know I was one of them to make sure it went out. I just don't know who the other one was.
Maurice Hamilton.
That's a bloody hard list documentary to make, that was. But
we'll release that for the Patreon subscribers. So go to patreon.com/threelegsfourwheels and sign up for one currency unit.
It's 8 years old, but you hear me chat to Lando, Will Buxton, Alice Powell, and some others who didn't quite make it. Where are you now, Quendon Law? Anyway, right. He listens to this.
Actually,
Quendon.
Where are you now, Will Buxton? You've never been on this show. Everybody else has.
Yeah. I can't remember what I was saying. Oh, yeah, Maurice Hamilton. I interviewed him, and we tweet back and forth for about 6 months or so. It was quite nice. Then one day I just looked at he stopped following me. It's like, well, okay. What have I done?
So, yeah, I think the Twitter era... social media era in general, it is just making mountains out of molehills. And I think this is going to be the next one, but there are going to be people calling for Ben Sulayem's head because of this, because of his previous quotes on, what was it, not liking intelligent women or women that think they're more intelligent than men.
Don't look great.
Now, apparently that was taken out of context.
Interesting.
I'm not entirely sure what context that sentence was meant in.
Yeah, good point.
This one's going to rumble on for a while, and people are just going to be calling for his head for that and many other reasons, and the social media flaming pitchfork mob will get behind it.
Yeah.
And yet, of all the things which happen, though? Because with the FIA being the FIA, it's not like a brand. So it's not like the FIA has to worry about like losing a sponsor, for instance.
I suppose it's reputational damage to the sport, isn't it? Is that the idea that the FIA has interfered with a race result damages F1 to the fans?
I think that ship sailed.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. I think most sort of yeah, the hardened F1 fans will be like, meh. But yeah, to a sort of the more casual fan or the sort of the newer
fan. Drive to Survive fans.
The Drive to Survive fans, it probably does feel a bit mucky.
Who are still trying to work out how to read FIA.
Yeah, I mean, the FIA's reputation is probably, I mean, they find a new way to sink it lower every year. But it's probably round about the same as, it was a slimming product that came out in the 70s. And it was called AIDS.
Ooh, unfortunate branding.
And by the mid-80s, they tried to change their name to AIDS Slim, but no one bought it for some reason.
No.
At what point did he look at that brand and go, well, we've got to keep the AIDS bit?
You know, the FIA is somewhere round about that level.
Yeah.
It is a genuine thing. There are old genuine ads for it on YouTube. So please look it up. I think it was spelled AYDS.
That makes it better.
Yeah.
I like AIDS Slim. AIDS Slim is like previously known as HIV.
God.
Shall we? Oh God, it's bloody Horner next.
Here's a less controversial topic.
Kieran, you got the Jack.
Hello, the lawyers.
You got the Jack button standing by.
Look, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good with this. I'm not going to upset lawyers with how I feel about this anyway.
Today I had to try and explain this to someone who kind of half pays attention to F1 and doesn't really understand technology. So the idea of a data leak and WhatsApp and sliding into someone's DMs was a very difficult concept to explain.
Yeah.
So let's just do it as a fact-based timeline of what has come to light in the whole of the story.
Even the disclaimer is non-suable.
I have got my media law textbook just out of arm's reach.
Can you open it at the relevant chapters?
I don't know if they've got a Christian Horner chapter.
They will have in the next edition. So, the story so far, are we sitting comfortably?
Mm-hmm.
Christian Horner was investigated by Red Bull GmbH, which is the parent company of Red Bull Racing and the main owner of the Red Bull brand for all Red Bull things, including drinks, record labels and suicidal sports. He was investigated for, controlling behaviour to a female employee. They held an independent investigation with an independent barrister, and the results of the investigation was that no further action should be taken. Mm-hmm. And that was all at the start of last week. Because the questions were still going on during testing. He appeared at testing, he represented the team, he had no comment to make on an ongoing investigation, which I think is a perfectly fair and appropriate response. Will the two media professionals please back me up on this?
Yeah, that's sort of fairly standard practice. If any kind of investigation's ongoing, the party wouldn't comment.
Mm. Then the Bahrain Grand Prix weekend started. And during practice on Thursday, a Google Drive drop was made, containing 78 screenshots and one video, which were alleged to be the evidence of what was investigated. They were screenshots from WhatsApp, pictures, and a video of him singing Bye Bye Miss American Pie.
Allegedly.
No. Well, there is a video in existence of Christian Horner singing "Bye Bye Miss American Pie."
I thought the implication there was that perhaps what was happening couldn't quite be classed as singing.
Yeah. Let's go for
it wasn't, but I'll go with it.
Let's go for performing American Pie along with somebody playing guitar. Christian Horner has obviously declined to comment on all this because this is a data leak of previously encrypted information. There are a lot of private WhatsApp conversations in there. And...
Well, it hasn't... That one thing to note here is it hasn't actually been confirmed whether this is what the evidence that was looked over in the investigation has it.
Yes, it's all really sort of allegedly...
It's definitely worth noting that.
Yeah, very good point.
The only things that you can certainly say are the photographs that are in there, some of them are definitely of him.
Yep.
Yes, his face is in there.
His face is in the photos. So is a donkey. And
I made a mistake with that one.
And that is all that is known for certain. Now let the speculation begin. It's nothing to do with his private behaviour. Do we think there might be somebody behind this who was trying to get rid of him?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not one of his friends that's put it out there, is it?
No.
He has annoyed someone who has the receipts, as the kids would say.
Well, it's like I said to you guys in the chat, it's really weird because the if those messages are real, then it indicates like an extramarital affair going on within the Red Bull organization between Christian Horner and somebody else. But like, because as soon as this whole story broke, we were, what's Horner been up to? And I don't think it helped either coming off the back of, I know it's a completely different thing, but still like a big news story. Coming off the back of what happened with Vince McMahon as well, you know, like a couple of weeks later.
Right.
So in these situations, your head always jumps to like the worst possible scenarios. But I find it like funny. I know you guys might not 100% agree with me here, but given the fact that there was no victim, like from this point after the investigation, stuff had happened between two people, but there was no actual victim. But now the message has been leaked. There is, and it's Christian Horner now.
I don't agree with that. You're right. But with a heavy asterisk, that this seems like a very private matter, which doesn't have a victim for us to judge, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
If all of this is real, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody knows if these messages are genuine.
He's the victim of a data leak.
Or an alleged
data leak, because really and truthfully, there are only two people that know if the messages are genuine, which will be Christian Horner and the person he was exchanging the messages with.
Yeah.
And probably the independent barrister.
And the independent barrister.
Who I'm sure, while independent, will have been paid by Red Bull.
Well, they're saying that. Yeah, someone on Sky Sports, was it, I think, said, I don't know how independent something can be if the company that you want to hold on the guy to is paying for the investigator. There's a sentence in there somewhere, but you know.
Yes.
Yeah, if this was the sort of thing that was to go on and say, like, Barclays, it would be an independent investigation that went on within inside the company to see whether any laws had been broken or it was going to come to some sort of legal action. I don't understand. I think there's one thing that really upsets me with this stuff, and it always upsets, regardless to do with Formula One, is the people that jump to wanting things to be worse than they are. Just because I said to you guys in the chat, there does seem to be an awful lot of people with Lewis Hamilton in their social media profiles that all of a sudden are defending the honour of Jerry Halliwell and are really against extramarital affairs. And it has nothing to do with Lewis Hamilton losing a world championship to Max Verstappen at all. But the problem is that when people do these things and they try and make it worse on one person, then it's almost like they want there to be a victim.
They want the drama.
It works with the narrative that the person who they feel wronged by for the last 2.5 years might actually be a bit of an arse.
Mm-hmm.
And we might get a one up on them. But at the end of the day, that, you know, if there is a victim in all this, that, you know, if outside of all these messages or there's additional messages or there's stuff we don't know about, there might actually be a victim in this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't celebrate that.
Exactly. And certainly if there isn't a victim, you wouldn't want to create one.
No, absolutely. But that's the internet, isn't it? No, just create a victim, sod it. Let's make that person a victim because I don't like their political view. Let's make that person a victim because I think they were an arsehole a couple of years ago. Without getting too far away from F1, it happens in F1 as well. It's just very much a cultural thing at the moment, which is no fun whatsoever.
Obviously, this is pure speculation. But given the money that's in Formula One and the people that are in Formula One, I'm sure there is much worse things being swept under the carpet than somebody that might have had an affair with an employee.
Oh, totally. There's the stuff that we don't know about is not worth thinking about. I'd worry. It's just the thing, I guess, because he's in the limelight, this is a big deal.
Mm.
It's sort of a big deal as well, because I think chatting to my partner about this, it seems like the things which happen in this realm are very recognizable from a lot of sides, but specifically with this, it makes it a really big deal because it's someone who is so in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
If this was I was gonna give an example of another person, but I wouldn't want to libel them or, you know, tie them into this in some way. But if this was a smaller technical director at the fifth or sixth best team or something, this wouldn't be a big deal. The problem is, it's that person. It's the guy half a world like and half a world don't like.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that when Susie Wolf and Toto Wolf's thing happened just before Christmas or whenever it was, everyone with the Dutch flag in there. Twitter bio went, at last, we've got them. No, you haven't, not yet. But, you know, one day you might and one day you won't. But let's not make them a victim whilst something might or might not be going on. But with these Christian messages, there's so many things you can't say about if they are true or not. If they are not true, if these are all alleged messages, then whoever invented Pierre Gasly snores on a plane is a right bastard. There's someone snoring in first class. Oh, well, it can't be as bad as that time Pierre did. Well, thanks. Thanks a bunch. Qualified last. And now this.
I've just realised we said before, it's somebody that's trying to damage like Christian Horner. Like, it wouldn't be one of those several thousand drivers that Red Bull have destroyed the racing careers of.
Jean-Eric Verne, Robert Doorknobs, they all meet up on a Tuesday night and Photoshop WhatsApp messages. Yeah, take a blurry photo of your finger. Go on.
Go on, Liuzzi. Send it.
Well, he never did when he was racing.
Dodgy legal ground, you could argue. Mm. But yeah, I don't know. It's got all the hallmarks of turning into another cultural war thing, which is no fun with anything, you know.
No.
Yeah.
So it's just a bit boring when it gets to that point.
Mm. Well, I'm
disinterested.
I unsubbed and stopped listening to the Checkered Flag podcast this weekend because they led with the Christian Horner story.
At least we hung on to it till third.
Mm.
Yeah, but this was the preview. This was the preview for the Grand Prix weekend, the preview for the first race, and the BBC led with the gutter press story. And you go, at least let's talk about Formula One. Let's talk about the cars, and then you can talk if you really need to throw the gossip bit in at the end. But considering this was a race preview podcast,
then you're aiming for the Drive to Survive audience. who want the stories behind the sport, because that's where the bigger news is.
I read about it on Twitter, and I will see if there's any validity to this. The people who provide validity is Harry Benjamin and Jolyon Palmer and all that, I guess. Mm. That's what they're looking for, and it's not all there. We've come here to watch 20 cars go around a track, not to see if one bloke likes Coco Pops or is cheating on his Spice Girl wife.
It really bored me, like, really quickly this weekend, because I just thought, fuck you, it's the first race. We should have, everyone that's into Formula One should be excited about the fact that there's going to be cars on the track. Instead, we are.
Unless you work for Alpine.
Maybe it's them that did it to try and deflect.
Horner and
Renault. Go on, Esteban, Photoshop it. Go on, Esteban.
Horner and the Renault organisation, there is history there.
They might be getting their engines in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, again, I do want to stress that if there is like a victim in this situation, then obviously like drag him across the rolls and the coals and like book him. I'm not saying that all human elements should stop because cars race, but I can't help think that what else do people want once there's been. Like and it's not like the investigation was like over a weekend, that you know that
8 weeks or something, wasn't it?
Unless there was nothing, I do think they should have released the report, because that would have probably they said it was for data protection, didn't they, from the parties involved and obviously Pierre Gasly snoring, but I feel all this could have been stopped if they just released the report.
I think they could probably do a summary, at least, like a sort of this is what we found, this is what we're going to change, maybe culturally as an organisation. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, this is why we've taken the step we have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, this now leads us into, is it all because Max Verstappen's got a Horner clause in his contract, and if Christian Horner goes, he can leave, so Mercedes might want him.
Oh God, this is spun out too far. I know we're all sort of quite entertained by it, but it's really in the space of 48 hours or so, it's gone mad. And that's if any or all of it is true. We know that Jos speaking to the Daily Mail and saying, "I think we need to figure out how to get rid of him." He didn't say that, but you know the equivalent of.
What was it?
With the team.
Horner staying in the team is going to tear Red Bull apart.
Yeah.
Oh, he's been watching the room.
I was going to say, I was just about to add the word Lisa.
But do you know what, right? That doesn't, it doesn't make sense, that. Because if you take all of the stuff, right, that people might not like about Christian Horner, the fact, like you see, he is one of Formula One's best politickers without a shadow of a doubt. You know, everything that man says is to benefit his team, but he can tell you, he can say it to you in a way that you go, makes sense that. But he's one of the reasons Red Bull is what it is, and like a massive reason for why Red Bull is what it is. So why would Jos Verstappen want to try and oust somebody which is one of the architects for his now son's success?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. The only thing I can think that there is somebody else Jos Verstappen thinks could fit that role, which would benefit his son more, which would probably in the end not actually benefit anybody.
Flavio.
Oh, I reckon he wants it for himself.
Oh,
yeah. Well, see, I thought that. Well, no, sure, would he? Yeah, he probably would. He would want to turn it into like Verstappen Grand Prix. But I remember when Dietrich Mateschitz died, and Christian Horner had to come out and do like a press release thing saying that the Red Bull organization was still 100% behind the Formula One bid, because it was kind of Dietrich's thing, wasn't it? Having the Formula One team, and there was no lack of confidence from board members. I remember us saying in a podcast, "I wonder if this is going to cause some sort of power vacuum within Red Bull," and I wonder whether we're just seeing that like bubble to the surface now.
Well, apparently the new head of Red Bull is still 100% behind both Formula One teams.
I wonder if he's 100% behind heading up himself.
Well, it's the head of the Thai side of the business, because they own 50% plus one share of the Red Bull that we know as Red Bull, as in the drink, the fizzy drinks over here, and the racing team, and the suicidal sports. So
it seems so weird, doesn't it? It's like, which arm of Red Bull is it? Is it the fizzy drinks part, or like the technical engineering part?
Is it the promoting the soapbox part?
Or the jumping from space part?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if
6-0 to Arsenal. Sorry.
Apparently the person who is in, I'll say, the most control of Red Bull globally, as a worldwide brand, is behind the Formula One team. I just don't know where this is going, and quite frankly, I'm stopping giving anything remotely resembling a toss.
I think it's going to go nowhere. I think it will end up with Max stays, Jos gets put in his place slightly, Ford carry on with it, Horner probably stays. I think it'll just peter out eventually.
Mm.
The only people who won't get bored of this will be the Abu Dhabi 21 people.
To be fair, if Verstappen goes to Mercedes, like, I'm here for it.
Yeah, absolutely. But then if that's the case, then, you know, if it does, I'm not certain that Red Bull will court Alonso. I think they'll take Ricciardo and Perez, or maybe Ricciardo and Lawson or someone. And then one of those is champion next year.
But can I, let's just say how, like, talk about how ridiculous this scenario would be, yeah? Max Verstappen leaves Red Bull, the team where he can't stop winning in. Like, he can't stop winning Grand Prix in this car, that it suits him so much. And Adrian Newey's building it. And the reason he decides to go to a team that might be the third fastest team on the grid right now is because he's absolutely disgusted that somebody had an extramarital affair. That's not real. That's not what sports people do.
That's not what happens. So there's something more then. There's got to be something more, because Jos Verstappen, again, without getting into too dodgy legal territory, has never been the great defender of women's rights.
It's a fair assessment.
Yeah,
I don't think he's the guy who's getting it wound up because Christian Horner might have, you know, played the field. Might have, allegedly, according to WhatsApps, which aren't quite real. Or are they?
He's only upset because Christian managed to be nice to two women.
I think we need to step away from this. I think we.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even get to play my sound effect.
Go on, do it now.
Thanks, Greg Wallace.
I'm desperate to dip that pork into something wet.
That's all I've got on it.
And before this becomes the Jacques Villeneuve show. I think we all need to take a break and refocus. And I think it's time to introduce a new feature.
Uh-huh.
Poetry Corner.
Hey.
Right.
Now,
we could have a new feature, which is just like a random, like, picture of a sausage, or like a random picture of Christian's body parts, and we could have like hot dog or horner.
Hot dog or horn dog.
That's what I meant to say.
You've got it. You're there.
Trying to get this back on track.
I know what you meant.
Some of our listeners, probably the patrons, will know that we have recently discovered an author that goes by the name of Anita Driver, who so far has written a couple of books, pure fantasy, allegedly, about Daniel Ricciardo.
Allegedly is doing some heavy lifting tonight, oh, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. Have I got three legs, four wheels for you? Don't bring Horner into that. Anita Driver has released a new book, Zen and the Art of Formula Racing. Meditative poetry from the Zen masters of the paddock. It's a collection of poems with suitably calming images. Sean, look at that one. You can tell that's calm.
Is it?
And I'm right in thinking that this lady that writes this stuff is coming on as a guest.
And Anita Driver will be appearing as a guest in the next couple of weeks.
I'm still not entirely convinced it's not Dan.
Have we confirmed the sense of humour? Because...
Completely and utterly. Because I told her that we were doing readings from the Daniel Ricciardo erotic fiction book, mm-hmm. and the listeners loved it. If you want to listen, subscribe to Patreon. We're up to three episodes worth of that so far, and there'll be another one next week. And I'll try.
I was just worried. I was worried it might be one of those situations, you know, where rappers think they're musicians.
I don't think Anita Driver is 100% serious.
Right, okay. So we're not seriously going to have a conversation with like a neck fetishist then.
That bit might be serious.
Lovely.
She's not seeing me going, stop mocking me. This is in for the Brooker this year. I'm trying my best. Bloody Richard Osman, he's stealing all the limelight.
So, the latest Anita Driver masterpiece, Zen and the Art of Formula Racing, is poetry inspired and featuring paddock and team radio quotes. So I would like to read for you now a poem called Raindrop, featuring Toto Wolff.
Lovely.
A lone raindrop begins its descent, a silvery globe from heaven sent. It graces leaves and kisses flowers, dancing through the stormy hours. It joins its kin in rhythmic cascade, drumming the rooftop a serenade played. The raindrop lands, no glitz or spotlight. No, Michael, no, that was so not right.
Jesus Christ.
I thank you.
Lovely.
Bye, Germany.
Hey, that was an Austrian accent.
Oh, dear. Bye, Austria as well.
Well done, Kieran. You managed to insult Austria without trying.
Ooh. I'm not so sure this was Kieran's fault.
To be fair, it is normally Flood that does the official Toto impression.
Yeah, yes. we needed Flood for that. Mm. So yeah, there'll be more Anita Driver coming up on the show in the next couple of weeks, and on the Patreon next week. Right, yay. Probably time to talk about the Bahrain Grand Prix.
We've done Alpine, we've done Haas.
To be honest, we have. I think Williams are probably next up. They have cooling issues and problems with the power unit, which Mercedes had as well.
They've got a very technical way of telling you that you need to cool the car down. A big banner comes up on the steering wheel saying car too hot. Did you see that?
Yeah, which according to Alex Albon kept coming up every two or three laps, and he couldn't actually make any adjustments because he didn't know if he'd clicked the thumb rotators in the right way.
This is the best thing about the sort of the kind of the night races and the twilight races, isn't it, when you actually get to see what's on the dash.
Yeah. One thing that we didn't see, the reason for Logan Sargeant's big off was his steering wheel threw a complete fit and set the brake bias 100% forward.
We did see that, I think, didn't we?
No, they only announced it today.
Ah. I definitely saw something about that yesterday.
We saw him fly off, and it's like, oh god, what's he done? Apparently the steering wheel had had a bit of a issue, and he limped back to the pits and had to change the steering wheel, and it didn't happen again. So it looks like it was that one part. But we don't know how quick Williams is if the car's too hot and the engine's too cranky.
And they never go well in Bahrain or Saudi Arabia, seemingly.
It must be the heat with the way that they design the car.
Yeah. It's not good in dry heat.
Maybe we'll actually get some idea when we get to Spain. God, that's the thing with Bahrain testing. We can now look forward to the Spanish Grand Prix a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, not knowing exactly what's going to happen just by looking at the testing times.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't really say anything about Williams because you just don't know.
Nothing happened. They didn't register.
It's all a bit murky, isn't it, behind Red Bull this year? Yeah,
I think it'll be a while before we've got a sort of a proper order in our heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Sauber-nonymous not anymore because they're bright green.
I really like that car.
You know, Zhou Guanyu had a great race. Valtteri Bottas had only his second longest pit stop, even though he was stuck for a minute, but it was still about 72 hours shorter than his longest one.
I don't mind the car either. I think it's all right.
Somebody said it's a tribute act to Junkos Hollinger Racing in IndyCar, and I'll just take their word for that.
Yeah, that is a green one, isn't it? That's the one that Callum Ilott was in last year.
Then was, and then had to give up to somebody else. And
Grosjean.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like any Minardi that's ever been, but it does have a Minardi feel to it.
No, it didn't finish last.
That's fair.
It's stylish, isn't it? It's not done where they just chucked some green on it and gone, ooh, wacky, out there. They've at least done a few outlines and things on it.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it.
Question is, can it be one place quicker than it was last weekend?
Well, I think the 11th place for Joe flattered them slightly. They had a good strategy to use the best of the hard tyre early. And then they hoped they didn't have to do a three-stop. So he came in when Stroll came in, didn't he, Guanyu Zhou, or Zhou Guanyu?
He came in early, definitely.
He was on about lap two.
So essentially that was quite a good strategy because it meant at the end people were trying to make sure their hard tyres, unless you're Red Bull, make sure your hard tyres get to the end. At that point, their hard tyres were just about in the same condition because they managed to stroke them out for a bit longer. So Zhou and Stroll, talk about a minute, they did really well with that. And it nearly got Zhou a very unexpected point.
I thought you were talking about Christian Horner again then.
No, he was there at the Grand Prix this weekend and that's all we can say.
Yes. Yeah. And I wholeheartedly endorse this message.
And Jerry was there as well because there were photographs and footage of them walking through the paddock. There we go.
Yeah.
Facts. I mean, you say we've talked about Haas, but I mean, it looked like Hulk was going to have a great weekend until that coming together with Stroll on the opening corner. Although the joke being, of course, race one, lap one, turn one, Stroll's sideways.
But not his fault.
Not his fault. I don't think it was his fault entirely, but he did drive over Hulk's front wing.
I think it was just a classic lap one, turn one, too many cars after the same bit of track, wasn't it?
I mean, turn one at Bahrain has always been, there's too many cars fighting for too small an amount of space.
It's a very wide approach, and then it suddenly goes very narrow.
I mean, remember the F2 a couple of years ago when Dick Tantrum nearly killed the whole field and ended up backwards.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Oh, yeah, he just sort of just missed everyone, went backwards. Everyone went, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Track's this way, mate. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Hulk had, I think it was Piastri on his inside. And Stroll was turning across him because he'd got to the corner first and Hulk couldn't do anything. You know, it racing incident, yeah, not an accident where someone's to blame.
No, I don't think you can apportion a majority of blame to a human being as much as just the situation and what the cars are doing. And that's how Formula One should be. I say it's been in the 80s, 90s, 2000s.
I don't know. You can't get penalty heavy. You can actually apportion the blame to one human being, and that is Herman Tilke.
Yeah. That's victim blame at its best, isn't it? Well, why did you build the track like this? Yeah, Hülkenberg seems to be a magnificent qualifier. And it's, if the car this year is as good as what this... Well, I say, you know, as good as... We weren't saying this 7 days ago, I know. But if the car... If they fixed the thing about the tyres overheating and the brakes being worn out all the time, and that car can stay around the point where it qualified, then Hülkenberg could have nicked a point there this weekend somewhere, probably a point for 10th.
Yeah, I think it's a big loss for Haas with that, because I think by, I'm saying Austria, that's when we're going to see him start to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
When the second round of upgrades come in.
Yeah.
Because they won't have any. You know, it may even be Spain. You know, Haas need to rack up the points as soon as possible this season, otherwise they're just going to end up starting at the back and finishing at the back.
Yeah. Yeah, early season cash grab needed.
Yeah.
I don't think Alpine will overtake them.
No, I don't. I don't either. Mm.
No, I mean, nailed on ninth place in the Constructors' Championship for Haas.
You're probably right, but I still think they're going to have a better year than last year.
Mm-hmm.
We keep saying that about them every year, and most years it doesn't happen.
Mm.
You know, it's the usual Haas thing, though. You know, come on, shockers, be competitive by Belgium.
Yeah, do you know the funny thing with Pete is like plot twist. It was Gunther Steiner's fault all along, and slowly they start dragging their way up the grid.
I mean, Gene Haas has been cucked by Gunther that whole time, and now that he's free of the shackles of Gunther, they're actually a team.
I mean, there is a Gunther Steiner poem in here. I could, or not.
Save it for next week.
Yeah, we don't want to peek too soon.
Given what rhymes with Gunt, I think we should probably leave it.
His name doesn't appear in the poem. Just a well used well used phrase of his.
What rhymes with neck? When he came in the room, I was like, holy feck.
Moving swiftly on. Right, for me, next, the biggest disappointment of the weekend. Alpha Racing Tory bullcrabs. V-carb, whatever.
Disappointing, very. Where's last year's Red Bull we were promised?
Yeah.
Languishing in 13th and 15th, and Yuki is trying to get revenge on the team for telling him to let Ricciardo pass by, trying to Ferrucci him on the cooldown lap.
Did they finish 13th and 15th? I thought they finished together.
13th and 14th.
Ah, you said 15th a second ago.
Oh, sorry, no, 13th and 14th. Yeah, who wanted to see more apart from everyone?
Yeah, it started so well, didn't it? I mean, Ricciardo was fastest in FP1. I don't think Tsunoda was that far behind. It looked like they were going to be quite promising and then just kind of gradually got less pacey over the weekend.
Mm. AlphaTauri's done this to us before as well, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every testing cycle.
I mean,
they're the third best team. Oh, they're crap.
Remember the Toro Rosso that was a James Key car, and it looked just like the Mercedes, and we all thought, oh, they might be challenging for top fives with that car because it's using the exact same same philosophy that Mercedes have been doing, and we know how quick they're going to be. And then
2021,
possibly.
I think could be wrong.
But then it was absolutely nowhere at first.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this has come up before, but he's an angry little man, isn't he, Yuki Tsunoda?
Oh yeah.
Oh god, yeah.
Do you know what though? Can you blame him? Like the only thing he hears is, "Oh, if Ricciardo destroys Tsunoda, he's going to get back in the Red Bull." And it's like no one ever says, "If Tsunoda destroys Ricciardo, he might get his way into the Red Bull."
Yeah,
yeah,
it's true.
If Tsunoda destroys Ricciardo, then they're going to have to toss a coin between Perez and Lawson. Yeah, he's. And it was for 13th place, wasn't it?
Yeah, on the road.
It was for 13th on the road with a potential of 12th. And I think what Danny had said was that Yuki couldn't get past K-Mag, but he thought that he could.
So he was on different tyres. He was on softs and Tsunoda was on hards.
Yeah. And of course, if Ricciardo finished ahead of K-Mag, then V-Carb would have been higher than Haas in the Constructors' Championship because of a higher top finishing position. If it gets to count back, it's the highest position. If you're
but it's
points.
Round one!
It does feel like sort of, yeah, squabbling over
but they're owned
very
by,
little.
They're owned by Red Bull, so they have to do it to the extreme.
I mean, look, it might seem like the top five teams will score all 10 points positions this year, but let's not forget, it is Lance Stroll. there's at least one going, lads. So, you know.
And don't forget, Ferrari have got to make pit stops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, 2 points. It's Christmas.
Oh, and no. those Ferraris are definitely taking each other out at some point.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. We'll get to them in a bit because it's Aston Martin next. I think they finished where they were meant to finish, which isn't great for Alonso, but is absolutely incredible for Stroll.
Given, yeah, the stellar qualifying.
Yeah, but I mean, given that Stroll pitted on the end of lap one and will have had a damaged car all race. Because, you don't get a car sort of in your back quarter and not get a damaged floor. Again, were we expecting more out of Aston Martin? Were we expecting better than 9th and 10th?
I think it just shows... I mean, I think we wanted it, but it shows that they had that embarrassment of riches last year when Mercedes and Ferrari dropped the ball.
Yeah, because I mean, you look at all the podiums that Alonso got at the start of last season at the expense of a Mercedes or a Ferrari.
Yeah,
I mean, but you know, ball dropping is Ferrari's national sport.
I think you could argue as well if they'd have had any other driver in that car, they probably wouldn't have got those podiums.
Yeah, I think Alonso outperformed the car this year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year.
Definitely.
And this year's car appears to be a little bit of a different beast. Maybe they're just not... because all the cars this year are evolutions rather than new concepts, with the exception of Mercedes.
And Red Bull.
Yeah, true. All right, 8 of the 10 cars are evolutions. And, you know, maybe McLaren and Ferrari have evolved better than Aston Martin have.
And even we'll talk about McLaren a bit, but even they aren't exactly where we were hoping they'd be. It's funny though, isn't it? Everyone at the minute doesn't seem to know where they are, but when you ask anyone, it's always, yeah, well, we've got a good platform for development this time. Everyone seems to have the same sort of line for why their car isn't quite as quick as people thought it was going to be, or they're not as high up the order as they wanted to be. It's like, no, we've got a solid platform for these rules that are going to change in a year.
Meanwhile, Red Bull are just running away with everything and everyone else is scrabbling around for the scraps.
Yeah.
Mm.
you know, I don't think Red Bull. If Red Bull are saying we've got a good solid platform for development, then it's going back to late 90s McLarens where they're lapping the entire field. We'll do McLaren next. Lando in sixth and Oscar in eighth. Mm-hmm. Was a podium realistic for him this weekend? Do we think?
No, I don't think so.
No, not least because the car isn't 95% up to speed yet, and Bahrain's a bit of a bogey track for them.
Yeah. Although, as a self-confessed McLaren fan, this gives me a lot of hope because I mean, you've seen how bad McLaren have been at the start of recent seasons, mm-hmm. and they keep being the most improved team. Mm-hmm. So if they're starting with a car that they can get into the top six, mm-hmm. then and they have a really solid platform for development, then we could see exciting things. I'm standing by my prediction that we will see a McLaren driver on the top step of a podium this year, and not in a Jenson Fernando way.
I hope
and
so.
Not on the back of a truck where you get given a medal and a what they're called. Circle of Ivy.
Laurel wreath.
Thank you very much.
Circle of Ivy.
A Circle of Ivy.
Wasn't that a forgotten Mogwai album?
Possibly.
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah, you know, you've seen Blazing Saddles. A laurel and hearty handshake. Yeah, I think McLaren, if they progress at the same rate that they did last season, maybe that's asking too much, but you can take some positives out of the fact that they didn't suck at the start.
Yeah.
Whereas fifth and seventh for Mercedes is... That's a C-minus, must try harder.
Oh, big time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a bad result. And it's not a bad result born from, you know, bad car development or bad strategy or anything. That is, did the same strategy as everyone... George was quite quick at the start and then wasn't. Mm-hmm. And then Lewis was very much not there.
It's worrying that sort of both of them were talking about sort of issues as well with the car, that there could be a reliability issue kind of bubbling away there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As we said with Williams, it's the power unit that seems to have a couple of problems, although McLaren and Aston didn't have it. Mm-hmm. Didn't have those. It was just Mercedes and Williams that were struggling with the Merc power.
Well, maybe McLaren did have a power issue and the fact that they can't get it to work with their car as well, but their overall package was quite good, and that is the true pace of the McLaren as well. Maybe McLaren really are as good as Mercedes when they haven't got all their shit together.
You may well have a point there. But, yeah, I mean... Both Mercedes being beaten by both Ferraris, and I'm going to jump on the bandwagon a little bit, and Perez. You know, that would have been unthinkable last year.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do think Russell drove fantastically in that race.
He did.
Unfortunate. Yeah. Clearly, that's not the second best car. It's probably the third, maybe the fourth best car. But to nearly outrace both Ferraris, I think, was a very good job.
I think without the coolant issues they had with that car, because they just went too aggressive on closing the car up, I think Russell finishes third in that race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be that we actually get to see the pace a bit when we get a cooler race. Which when's the first coolish race going to be? Probably Japan.
Japan. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Saudi Arabia is another desert race. All right, it's going to be at night, but it's still going to be a bit on the warm side. Australia is usually hot, although it can be rainy.
Can be rainy there.
Mm-hmm. Although I think, you know, rain is the great leveler. Mm-hmm. And we get to see whose car's good in the wet if F1 actually let them go out in the wet. You know, because it's spitting, get an umbrella. right, that leaves the top two. Mm-hmm. Is Carlos Sainz driving for himself and nobody else this year?
Yeah.
I think he just did the job this weekend that he was doing last year.
Yeah,
as well. I personally think that the Lewis move is going to be a disaster, and I think in like a year and a half's time, we'll be on this podcast going, should have kept Sainz and Leclerc.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, there was a couple of points where I thought Sainz and Leclerc were going to take each other out.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were getting very, very racy and very elbowsy with each other. And it was fairly early on when it started.
It was very early on. I think it was well before the first pit stops they started going at it.
Mm. And, you know, did they get anything from the pit wall saying, you know, just back off, hold position? And if Sainz did he turn around and tell them where to stick it?
Yeah. Well, think about it. No other driver on the grid has to beat their teammate as much this year as Leclerc has to beat Carlos Sainz.
Mm-hmm. Except for Ricciardo and Tsunoda, if he wants that Red Bull seat.
No, even more so than those, because I mean, it's obviously it's the career trajectory for Ricciardo, but if Leclerc gets done by the driver that they've sacked to bring Lewis Hamilton in,
mm-hmm.
and then by saying that I think the Hamilton thing is going to be a disaster, I just think it's more so because Ferrari's a disaster, and I don't think plugging Lewis Hamilton in, like plugging any of the previous world champions in, has fixed the Ferrari like championship challenge.
Or plugging Nigel Mansell in before he was a world champion, because that turned into an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing about Ferrari. Far more misses than hits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mogwai's greatest hits.
Mean. I think the first time we mentioned Mogwai was to do with an off-air fart, wasn't it? Listeners are tuning in, going, they don't know about Mogwai.
Tired of being hunted by this freak.
I'm sorry about the crackling. There's nothing we can do about it, and we don't know what's causing it.
Who thought there'd be deep cut Mogwai references? But the thing is, yeah, like if Leclerc has to go into next year having been beaten by Carlos Sainz as well, and then face one of the greatest drivers of all time, he's got a lot on his plate.
Mm.
And I think you're going to see that pressure of a like Lewis Hamilton-shaped asteroid headed towards Ferrari. I think you're gonna see that pressure like load up on Charles Leclerc, because he is a bottler.
Yeah, it is something we've seen from him before, isn't it? That he doesn't necessarily cope well on the weekends when there is a weight of expectation on him.
Like his home Grand Prix in qualifying.
The time, didn't he stuff it in the castle in Baku when he was...
I am so stupid.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does seem to just... Yeah, I'm fastest. Oh, I'm in a wall.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. I will ask you this, Lee.
Was that a Mogwai song?
No. Are you there for it?
I am. I am. I just like the fact that he continues to prove me right that he will never be a world champion.
I used to disagree with you violently on that, but
the window's closing.
Yeah, I'm coming round to your way of thinking, and I am going to have to wash my brain out with soap.
But do you know what the funny thing is about Leclerc? Is he still comes across as a green Formula One driver. Like the issues he had in his first like season and a half, you know, of his career, the issues he had, he's still got. He's blisteringly quick, don't get me wrong. He's arguably the fastest man on a single lap on the entire grid. But those niggling little issues where he would like make a mistake or well, you probably just make a mistake, really. That's kind of the issues. He still feels like a new driver when, you know, he should be right now. This should be Charles Leclerc's peak he's in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Bloody Adobe Creative Cloud sending update warnings. That was the Bing.
Charles Leclerc will be Formula One world champion in 2026. And it will be in a Mercedes.
Ooh, very interesting.
And here's how I'm going to try and wrap up like three storylines into how this happens.
Weave me a tale, Kieran.
Next year, Leclerc gets paid out of his contract and Ferrari take
Bring
Max.
Back Kimi Raikkonen.
Bloody hell, they've brought out Emerson Fittipaldi. And Ferrari take Max Verstappen and Adrian Newey, and Ferrari go full, let's make some money for the board members, increase the share price, and they have a Lewis and Max team in 2025 with Adrian Newey designing the car for 2026. And then Ferrari, because they're Ferrari, take the two greatest drivers of the modern era of Formula One, completely fumble it, and give the championship to Leclerc in a Mercedes.
I mean, I thought the stuff about Ricciardo was like F1 porn, but
and none of that.
Do you want me to re-record that in like with some like
breathy
20
whispers.
Keyboard? Yeah,
yeah, a bit of waka waka guitar behind it.
Yeah,
and none of that actually sounds unfeasible. It would be the kind of thing that could happen.
If Ferrari have enough money to chuck at both those human beings and they turn around to Lewis and go, ah, come on, put your past behind you. This will be fun. Why not? Why not boff off Leclerc, you know, six races into the season and say, well, you haven't got a podium yet. You're a very good driver, but we can make billions with Max. So sorry, ta-ta, bye-bye, go see Toto. And then we have the big ultimate Ferrari team, the team to end all teams, the Prost Senna sort of style at McLaren in 89. Yeah.
Why? It would be incredible. I don't think Lewis Hamilton would be in the same team as Max.
I agree. I totally agree. But let
Max
a man dream.
Yeah, no, I'm just... No, never.
But Ferrari are so good at screwing things up, they would try and make that happen, regardless of what everyone expects the outcome to be.
They'll drop the bag.
I'm sure this is going to be an unpopular opinion with 50% of the audience. I don't think, especially with another 2 years, I don't think Max Verstappen would have an issue.
Issue with what, sorry?
With Lewis Hamilton in the same car, in the same machinery.
No, I don't think you need to have an issue. I think that Max has driven at such a level over the last couple of years. Sure, we haven't seen much competition from Lewis in this respect, but I think that you put those two together right now at peak performance with a man who knows Adrian Newey's style of design, I think that Max Verstappen could probably do to Lewis what a Alonso could do to Stroll. Not as bad, that's really bad, that's harsh to Lewis, but you know, I reckon you could make a number one and a number two driver out of those two.
Why is it all I can see in my head is that fight between Rocky and Apollo Creed in the gym?
Well, why can all I see is people frantically typing it into their keyboards with Lewis Hamilton hats on?
Yeah. I am not happy with what Kieran said on podcast. It was mean to goat Sir Lewis Hamilton, hashtag Team LH.
But his soundboard is cool. And somebody actually
it's
said that.
Fucking cool, I think you'll find.
Right, that just...
Yeah, someone commented on that, someone on Discord. I was like, oh, one more fan than the Isle of Wight. Most mornings on the Isle of Wight, I sort of go, ah, oh, welcome to the breakfast show. Wakey, wakey, wake up. Sorry.
I wouldn't want to see your hate mail.
I don't want to see any mail at this point.
Kieran just calls that mail now.
Yeah. Right, I guess that leaves us with Red Bull. Insert superlative here. Welcome to the last 2 years.
And the next two.
Yeah.
Really was, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Really was. Ominous. And there was such signs of hope as well from practice.
I think that's it. I think we were all probably expecting a Verstappen win. I just don't think we were all expecting a 22.4 second Verstappen win. Which was just, it just wasn't a contest, was it? It was wild.
I mean, what was it? By lap four, he was 7 seconds ahead?
Something like that, yeah. Perez did a good job, though.
Yeah. I mean, Perez did the job that he is expected to do.
Yes.
Finally.
Mm-hmm. But in a sort of, it was a very competitive race for podium positions, and he did the best of those who were in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the fastest laps. And I know Max did this later on because he changed to soft tyres towards the end. But Max's fastest lap was round about 1.7 seconds faster than 1.5 seconds faster than anybody else. And the next fastest driver was Alonso.
Did the much talked about Pedro de la Rosa lap record survive?
Yes, it did. Ah. Yeah, they were quite well off at Imien. I think they were sort of 2.5 seconds off Imien.
Imagine what he could have done if he'd turned the engine up full. I honestly don't think Red Bull have given that car full power.
They don't need to yet.
No. No, I mean,
there's no need. You're right.
Yeah, you know, obviously, they've got to get it through effectively 30 races this season, although six of them are only one third distance. So, what's that, 26 full race distances?
Yeah.
You know, what the hell are they going to be like come the end of the season when they've still got parts left to play with?
And allegedly a massive upgrade coming at Imola.
Oh.
Allegedly.
Bloody hell. And
that's the... I know that's not the biggest allegedly we're using about Red Bull tonight, but apparently this is going to be a huge upgrade that they've got to come for Imola.
God. Just want to shout out to Ray Helmers, who says, my latest online pastime is blocking every F1, in quotes, fan that posts the season's over and they're declaring they're not watching for the rest of the season.
Hmm. Yeah, there's nine other teams.
He is also a Ferrari fan, so...
No, well, sorry about that. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Maybe it's got nothing to do with Red Bull winning. The Leclerc calling issues, I'm out. Sorry, just to go back onto... Can't believe I ever say this. To go back to Pedro de la Rosa. has anyone seen the clip that's been going around Twitter today of... It must be when he was in the Jaguar about 22-odd years ago, and the car's on fire, he's climbed out the car, and one of the marshals said, climb over a wall. He climbs over a wall and falls straight into a river.
Oh, yes, that is a classic, is that one?
That's been going around. I've never seen that before. That's brilliant.
Oh, 6-0 to Arsenal at full time.
Word 7. it was funny.
Yeah, as for Red Bull this season, they've come out of the blocks flying and they're only going to get better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. I'm loath to think of the answers we're going to get to this, but we'll have to do some rock stars and wankers.
believe I'm going to say this. Rock star nomination, Lance Stroll.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd agree.
If he's that good after getting biffed up on lap one every single time, just let him spin at the first corner every week. Well, because he seems to be good at coming back through the field.
Yeah, maybe that crash broke his wrist and that's where he got it all from.
Yeah.
Obvious rock stars, Max Verstappen, Sergio Perez and Adrian Newey, and everyone concerned with the building and performance of that car. Always get told we don't big up Red Bull enough. Another rock star, Carlos Sainz.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, great performance.
Yeah, got third despite Ferrari strategy. I mean, again, lap four, they told him it was plan B.
Yeah.
I mean, the tyres aren't even warm yet and you're changing plans already.
Maybe that was the problem.
But plan B was undercutting the slower car in front of him.
Do we make the make the obvious wanker joke?
Don't say it, baby.
It's way too loud. Sorry,
sorry, yeah, everyone.
You could hear it. That's why it was too loud.
Yeah. Brilliant.
I'd go for another rock star, but only people that watch the Sky coverage would get this. Whoever was feeding Jeremy Clarkson a serious amount of booze pre-race.
Oh, he's steaming.
He was completely enjoying hospitality.
And then they gave him the fucking flag at the end to wave. Someone needs to wave a flag at the end. You, drunk 6'3" man from 2 hours ago.
Rockstar, I think Hulkenberg deserves one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get to have the race that maybe they would have hoped for.
Qualifying rockstar.
Qualifying rockstar. Mm. And like signs of hope in that team. Yeah, you know, because after like last week's podcast when we said like just the potential that the Haas team had and how Hulkenberg was really deserved a seat and was an excellent choice for the team.
Zhou Guanyu as well, rockstar, because
no.
That
really
didn't deserve to be it. Well, he can finish 11th, started 17th.
Okay.
No, indie star on a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. No shenanigans involved in that 11th place either.
Rock rhythm guitarist.
Hey, nothing wrong with being a rhythm guitarist.
Oh, shit.
Can't play solos to save me life. Wankers. I don't actually think we've got that many.
Alpine. All of Alpine.
Yeah, well, yeah.
All of France.
All of Alpine, which, let's be honest, is getting less by the minute, except for the technical directors.
Yeah.
they probably hired another four in the time that we've been recording this.
Yeah. Did you say RB, Lee?
Yeah, RB just for complete lack of living up to the potential we thought they had.
Yeah. Mm.
Rachel Brooks.
Ferrari
What did Rachel Brooks do?
For 2 weeks ago, telling us that after the first day of testing, RB were the fourth best car.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Not good. I
really like Rachel Brooks, just to clarify. I think she's brilliant.
Ferrari strategist.
It's just the fact they called her a wanker.
That was my liberal guilt kicked in at the wrong moment. So.
Yeah, Ferrari strategists for not fucking up and giving us the Ferrari experience that we've been missing since November.
It was all quite sensible, wasn't it, from Ferrari?
Except for that lap four plan B.
Yeah.
Yeah, after that, it settled down to, tell you what, drive the cars really fast. That's not what we want from Ferrari. You know, it's too soft to wet in a cross-country ski at the fourth pit stop.
Yeah.
I think I'm about out of slating people.
Yeah, no, I've got nothing.
Sean, Lee?
No, anything? I think I'm there.
Minor wanker credit to whoever runs the Red Bull gossip Twitter Twitter account.
Only a minor one to somebody on social media.
Do we do it if it's stronger than the wanker? For basically tweeting every salacious rumour with the side eyes emoji. Yeah, we get it. Ooh, drama. Yes, very good. Well done. Now stop tweeting. It's boring. This is more my fault, isn't it? I shouldn't be looking at it.
And the thing is, that's how Twitter gets you as well, isn't it? The more you look at it, the more it shows you.
Yeah, the more wankers come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, I think that about does it for this week. Don't forget, the race is on a Saturday again, this coming week in Saudi. Who are we predicting is going to fill the minor placings behind the Red Bulls? Are we going to get more of the same? Are McLaren and Mercedes going to pick things up?
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I think Leclerc will take the third place. It'll be Max, Perez, Leclerc.
I was going to say, I don't know how I feel about Perez for this one. I think I'm going to go Verstappen, Sainz, Perez.
I think I'm with you, Kieran. I think it's going to be Verstappen, Perez, Leclerc.
I think Leclerc is going to overdrive himself. But I expect more from McLaren too. So
it's another hot race, though. That could be the problem with the Mercedes engines.
I don't think it's necessarily like an overheating issue in the engine. I just think it was not fully optimized. And like they went for like Mercedes, for instance. Mercedes went too far with qualifying pace and not enough with race pace. Mm. I think that, because there doesn't seem to be, apart from like a bit of a, oh, we kind of messed that one up. There was no drama coming out of Mercedes, and the same, there was no drama coming out of McLaren. I think they know they got it wrong and they can fit, and it's an easy fix.
Mm-hmm.
So I think both of those will be closer to Ferrari, if not on pace with Ferrari. If they're on pace with Ferrari, I stick George Russell ahead of the Ferraris. Maybe Lando Norris in there as well.
Wow. That is bold.
So what order are you going for, Lee? Was that?
We'll go with it. We'll go with Verstappen, George, Lando as the podium.
Excellent.
Ooh. Bold prediction. Obviously, if you want to make your predictions, go to 3legs4wheels.com and predict your top five. There's a slight issue with the scoring at the minute. Not letting me put in positions six to ten, which I'm going to get fixed after Saudi Arabia.
There's no problem with the scoring. I'm currently being beaten by not one but two different Kierans.
You're not even winning the Kieran Championship.
I'm third out of three Kierans.
I mean,
I looked that up this morning and went, "You're fucking kidding me."
I mean, this may change once I've fixed the scoring, but we'll only find that out on Saturday night. So yeah, practice Thursday, qualifying Friday, and race on Saturday. Which that's why we got the FIA news. Technically, in terms of an F1 weekend, it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Tuesday today.
Mm. Yes.
There you go.
So watch Kimi come out of retirement tomorrow.
I think he's busy doing sort of snow racing and stuff, isn't he? I think he's not long had another baby. And
No, Formula One are going to announce that there will be an 11th team, but it'll be Team Finland. It'll be Kimi and Mika Häkkinen.
Finally, the sabbatical's over.
If you want to join in, go to 3legs4wheels, put your predictions in on the league, and there's a link there to the Fantasy F1, which you can join our league, which about 50-odd people have. I did bang average. I am right in the middle.
God, I'm probably losing that as well.
I'm beating you.
I hadn't looked up my score.
Yeah, I'll have to do quite a bit of scrolling. And if you want to get in touch, you can email us, 3legs4wheels@gmail.com or at 3legs4wheels on the socials, and individually on the artist formerly known as Twitter, we are...
at Sean Cowper.
At Kieran is boring.
At The Lee Stevens.
And I'm at Pablo100, and see if you can get hold of Chris. He's at Flood21. Right, that is about it. We will be back next week with a review of whatever the hell happens in Jeddah. And whatever the hell happens between now and then, including Tuesday. There's going to be some Tuesday news in there.
Oh, I'm looking forward to us all scrambling for an emergency podcast tomorrow when, you know, Adrian Newey signs for Aston Martin in a swap for Alonso to head up the WEC team for Red Bull or some sort of bollocks.
Can we not have an emergency podcast tomorrow? We're meant to be going around to some friends and we're booking a holiday for later on this year.
Yeah.
Ooh, where you going?
I'm at a gig in London. Can't do it.
Gonna see my folks in the Canary Islands again.
Oh, cool.
What act are you going to watch in London, Kieran?
I'm seeing a comedian called Catherine Bohart. Tickets for my partner in Christmas. Yeah.
Very nice. Well, enjoy yourself tomorrow, and we will see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Cool.
Bye.
Bye-bye.